is Inkstead, CITR 101.9 FM. I'm joined by a couple of special guests. I don't mean special in a retarded way. Josh Simmons, author of the new book From Fantagraphics House, and Robin Bougie, the curator of Cinema Sewer and Sleazy Slice, of which Josh has been a frequent contributor and collaborator. So I guess I'll start things out with the new book, House, fresh out just a couple of weeks ago. And so tell us the story behind putting that together. It's yours. Is it your first kind of silent book?
Right. First, the longest thing I've done. I drew most of it in a cabin in the woods in Vermont, where I lived by myself for about a year.
Serial killer style.
That's right.
Unabomber.
That's Woody. Right.
Sunglasses.
Yeah. You get kind of weird out there.
Was this the same thing in the issue of Happy, where you were out in a weird commune?
Which is that, like the circus?
I think it was was it with the circus? I couldn't remember. I like read them all over a couple of days.
Oh,
it was like
yeah,
with the
yeah.
weird lady.
I think you're talking about the farm, Cherrymont
yeah.
Farm. Yeah, which is just where my friend grew up. And my friend from the circus grew up out there, Pierre. And it's it looks like something out of The Hobbit, like the way it's a really, really old house. And no, that's just like a stopping point for the circus when we were touring back in the
which
day.
We will get into some detail later. I think everyone needs to hear a little bit of Filth story.
Yeah.
Listener discretion be advised.
I can bring the Filth. Can we curse?
We can curse to a point.
To a point.
Minimal cursing.
Can we say ball sacks?
I think you just did.
I said ball sacks!
It is a town in Calgary, or in Alberta, just north of Calgary, Balzac. And
oh.
Every time I drive through it, I would giggle like a little girl staring at Balzacs. So, you're in this, in Vermont, putting together pipe bombs and house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get back to your train of thought, your talents about putting that together.
I don't know. I finished it a year and a half ago. And it finally just came out. And before that, it took like 3 years to draw it.
Yeah, I remember 5 years ago, you started showing me the first pages that you'd been working on when you came to visit me last time.
And that was when it was originally going to be Happy 5.
Yeah.
So I penciled it out as 32 pages and realized it just needed to be longer. So, yeah, I mean, it was a long time ago, so it's kind of hard. But I was thinking about this today, like with comics, that's the way it is a lot of time. Like, you get the initial inspiration, and, you know, you're kind of charged up to do this thing, and you start working on it, and then it's this long slog of just, like, all this technical stuff, basically, like, constructing the whole book. You're just like, you know, you kind of question if it was really a good idea, you know, if it was really something that's worth putting all this energy into. So, yeah, I don't know, it's just this long slog through the woods, like, churning out this depressing horror story. But, I guess it looks okay.
It does look good. And, so this is your first time really going in and just doing a full serial story, right?
Graphic novel.
Big story. Yeah, you said it's your longest. This is your first time, like, doing an extensive storyline?
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, all the bunny stories.
The happy,
initially,
happy planet.
Yeah, were all planned to be a book, but we ended up like having it in a different anthologies in the happy comic, and the circus thing is also one long story, which is about 80 pages, and it was in Circus New Orleans and Happy 3 and 4, but if you put them all together, it'd be like, you know, a book of sorts.
A graphic novel that the librarians like to carry.
Yes.
Actually, I don't think the librarians would like to carry Happy.
So the house in the book house, that's based on an actual place that you visited?
Mm-hmm. That's based on a sanitarium in Northampton, Massachusetts.
Oh, wow.
And I got to explore it a couple times.
Is it as crazy as you depict it in the...
Well, it doesn't have, like, the underwater you know...
Underwater kingdom.
Village, kingdom thing, right. You know. So, and that part's kind of based on, like, dreams that I had. So I just wanted to make it as expansive as possible, just this whole space that they're exploring. But a lot of it, like, the exteriors are based on the real building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very East Coast architecture. We don't have anything like that in Vancouver.
It looks like a scary-ass building.
Oh, yeah.
Was it scary to be there overnight?
No. We just went in for a day and walked around it for a few hours. Like, I kind of kicked myself because you can't go in there now. It's completely boarded off. But
really?
I wish I'd brought, like, headlights and, like, food to just really explore it.
Yeah.
But, like, in the middle of the building, we found this stage area. And, you know, I wonder if the inmates put on, like, plays there.
Oh, wow.
I'd kill to see those, you know what
it's
I mean?
It's like in Tale Cut Follies, if I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that's exactly what happens in this mental hospital. They actually put on shows. That's what the Tale Cut Follies is referenced.
And I just watched the Murat Saad movie by Peter Brooks, which is a play back in the 60s, where it was... The actors were supposed to be, like, from an insane asylum, and it was a hospital that the Marquis, or not the hospital, the prison that the Marquis de Sade was in, and he produced the play. And
The movie's all kind of a play, isn't it? It's just like a film play. Yeah, I've seen that.
It's pretty screwed up. There's a lot of really weird singing and fabulous acting, though. I highly recommend watching it if you want to have 2 hours of not sure what the fuck is going on. So, House, were you trying to go for something different than what you normally do?
It's an awfully depressing comic.
Yeah.
And you do happy.
I
kind of
do that anyway, so... Yeah. Yeah, well, like, one thing, it's... I don't think there's, just, like, any humor in it at all.
No, at least
with my other stuff, as depressing or whatever as it was, there'd still be some humor to it. But it seemed appropriate for this one. It just seemed fitting to do that. I don't know, like, I always kind of liked horror movies, and especially... certain, like, more obscure ones from the 70s, which maybe was, like, a certain sort of effect I was trying to emulate to a certain degree.
Are there any 70s films, like, that you're referencing directly yet, or...?
You got Bougie here.
I'm not, but, like, recently I've seen some which really blew my pants off, which, you know, like, The Brood, Cronenberg's The Brood, Brood, and... The Bob Clark movies, Death Dream and Black Christmas from back then. And more recently, there's a movie, The Descent, which I thought had some similar kind of things going on.
I got a little taste of Blair Witch as well.
Really?
Yeah, when I read House.
Really?
I
didn't like that movie.
I did not see it.
Most people don't.
I liked Blair Witch when I watched it. I enjoyed it.
You and I are in the minority.
High five.
I could see that, because there were some things that I liked, like the, you never see the monster, things are just kind of hinted at, and it's just like, certain scenes where, like, it's nighttime and you hear these sounds.
Yeah, Lost in the Dark, and
that it's very, like, suggestive of things, which I guess I was kind of trying to do with that.
I was even thinking, I didn't really think about a monster in it, I just thought, like, the day just got worse and worse and worse for these kids.
Yeah, definitely.
Still remain there. You find a middle.
Now, was there originally... Now, you said it was originally going to be 32 pages, then expanded to, I don't know how much this, like...
80
pages.
Yeah.
Did it change while you were working on it, other than expanding?
No. Other than, like, I penciled out the whole 32-page Happy Five and started inking it, and... Yeah, and then I just expanded it to 80 pages. So that's what I mean by, like, you have that initial inspiration. I wrote the whole thing, essentially, before I drew it, which usually I wouldn't want to do. Like, I want to, like, have a certain kind of, like, making it up as you go along, because it kind of keeps things interesting for me more. But because of the structure of it, you know, with, like, the shrinking panels, mm-hmm. I had to have everything perfectly mapped out.
Yeah.
And figuring out the math for the pages was just a nightmare.
That was really interesting how you went from the beginning of the book is really bright, and it's mm-hmm. it starts out with almost a flat page of white, and then towards the end of the book, it's the entire page is blacked out with only the smallest little bit of light showing.
Mm-hmm. And well, I did, like...
It's an interesting way to bookend the story.
Yeah, that, like, just sort of, like, tracking disintegration, the progression from light to dark. And I've done that in a lot in other things to a certain degree. And this is kind of like the final word in that or something. Mm-hmm. So with every other page, I would make the gutter half a centimeter thicker.
I noticed that, too.
Because yeah. I didn't want someone to notice it. Like, it's a formal trick, but I didn't want people to notice it as they read it, you know? Like,
well, I didn't notice it after. I noticed it kind of as I was going through it afterwards, but I didn't notice it the first time around.
Good, good. Yeah, Eric Reynolds didn't either.
Yeah.
Fooling the experts.
Pretty good, pretty good.
All right. Now, why the Fantagraphics? Because House, or in Happy number 4, you mentioned House coming out from Top Shelf. Is this a really boring question, or is it just, like, kind of working with a different one, or is it something you don't even answer at all?
Well, just to say that, like, I think my stuff was kind of, like, an odd fit at Top Shelf's mm-hmm. line. Like, you could see that, right? I mean...
They're more of the emo Craig Thompson, Andy Runton,
yeah.
Al Lee.
Yeah.
Except for the Alan Moore stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think it always, like, my sensibility kind of fit more with Fantagraphics stuff. So, when I finished it, I just showed it around a few people, and they liked it, so I was, you know, more than happy to do it with them.
Fantastic. Now, today you brought in the Batman comic. Is it just something that you, just selling at cons, or is this something you're planning on?
Well, I don't sell it, because I can't.
That's the legal loophole.
I give it away to people.
That's a great comic. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks. Yeah, that's...
I'm looking forward to reading it.
It's really... It really kind of fucks with the Batman mythos in a really interesting way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But the thing about it, it's like, I'm not trying to... Like, if I'd done that comic 4 or 5 years ago, it'd have Batman fisting Robin or something.
Yeah. No, it's a little more... It's more subtle than that.
Yeah, it's subtle, but it's also, to my mind, it's like just an extension of the Batman... you know, like, storyline, because he's kind of always been on edge, you know, and this is kind of him going over the edge a little more.
Yeah.
Are you getting more restrained in your old age?
Yeah, sure. House is a little more restrained, but then again, there's the thing in Sleazy Slice.
Which I gotta say, from feedback for people, is one of the most disturbing stories they have read. I loved it. I was like, what's so disturbing? The guy, you know, he gets angry, he kills someone, and he's all fueled up with energy, and he cuts a hole in his throat and rapes him, you know? What's so weird about that?
Rapes him through the throat hole.
Through the throat hole.
It's a good example of one of my humorous stories, you know? It's just rom-com-like comedy. It's for kicks.
Every kid should be checking that out. Did you, when you did that story for Sleazy Slice, which you can find at cinemasewer.com, I always got a plug. When you did that story, was it originally for Sleazy, you know, you heard Bougie was putting that together or something?
That actually was for Jeff Brown's Elf World.
Oh, really?
Anthology.
And they just couldn't handle it?
No, well, Jeff, you know, was really fond of it, but he was having a lot of problems with that book, and I think that was one of the major ones, figuring out how he would actually published that book with my story in it. He suggested taking out the four worst pages. He suggested doing a version.
It's the good part.
I'm glad you did.
And a version without it, and I think it was causing him a lot of headaches. But yeah, then someone else took it over, I guess, and they just, you know, which is fine. You know, they don't necessarily need that skull fucking in there.
Is it skull fucking or is it throat fucking?
Well, yeah, I guess it's.
Well, I think
it's. It's jaw fucking.
Yeah, okay. I think it found a pretty good home at Slizzy Slice. I was actually really happy with the way it fit in.
Yeah,
exactly with what I was trying to do with kind of trying to recreate an older kind of like balls to the wall, you know, underground comic from the 70s where there really wasn't any roles and you could go as far as you wanted to.
Yeah, which is great. I'm glad you're doing that, you know, because there's not a lot of that kind of stuff.
Well, there's no nowadays. Distribution for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
There's really no way to distribute a comic that like that. Mm-hmm. So, which I've run into.
Yeah, take it from his word. No one will distribute that kind of comic.
So it's really
last
just
a labor of love.
Yeah.
Ron Turner, we're talking to you. Come on, man. Step up.
Yeah.
I'll call it out. You don't have to. And you've been collaborating with Bucci for a bit now. Your first thing was what? Cinema Sewer 14. Lovely Danny Hellman.
Yeah. Cover. Are those the ones we did together?
Yeah, those we did some jam comics.
Extremely homoerotic.
The ones where you were enjoying your own company next to each other.
At least we weren't masturbating each other, at least.
That's, yeah. This is a lot sicker than it is. How did you guys meet?
Through the mail, I guess. Just like...
Yeah, he first started corresponding with Rebecca, my wife. And then I think...
Factsheet 5?
Yeah,
3.5. Oh, that's how I heard about... what was the one? Brains on Toast?
Yeah.
The earliest one, I think?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
It's an old Rebecca Dark comic that...
I'm going to have to hunt it. She's all embarrassed now.
It's way out of print.
I'll find it. I have the way.
There's like 200 copies floating around. Most of them were sold in Saskatoon.
I just got an Optic Nerve number 1 through 5 and number 7 the other day.
Oh. Well, there's more than 200 of those printed, so.
Number 1?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's many of those. Mm-hmm. Didn't he say he printed like 25 of them or something?
What?
There was like serious 5,000?
No, there was more than 25.
Maybe there was more.
I think it was like 250 or...
Maybe.
I don't know.
I got a good source. Now, Cinema Store, I guess that gives you a chance to kind of work out your more depraved bone.
Yeah.
Didn't really mean to say bone either there.
You did too.
Can we look forward to more filth, like the celebrity sex story in, that, number 19?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. The thing is, like, I just don't feel that kind of thing so much anymore. Like, that one was... really, I kind of had to really force myself to do it in a way. And part of that's just because, I love Cinema Sewer and I love what Robin does with it, but I find it really difficult to write about movies, you know, rather than just doing my own kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I've told you a ton of ideas, which I've never done over the years. Like Britney Spears getting fucked by 6 huge black cocks or something.
Okay, listener discretion be advised with again.
You already did that.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to keep mentioning it.
But there's one I really want to do is, like, missing sex scenes from movies that you'd want to see, like Night of the Hunter having the preacher there have sex Shelley Winters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, Ghost World, like, having Steve Buscemi and Thora Birch getting on. I mean, who wouldn't want to see that?
Oh, I don't want to see Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, man, he's hot. Nerd porn, man.
Bougie, the king of nerd porn.
Yeah, but that's porn. You don't have to look at the guy. You know,
I guess. God bless Thora. My favorite part of that story was the bring back the Harry Bush. Now, this was done before Britney's, you know, much-applauded step outside of the car.
Vaginal disclosure.
Yeah.
Well, she was shaved or waxed.
She was.
And it's like, I'm a big fan of the pubic hair. I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy in that way.
You're old-timey?
Yeah. I know it's very fashionable now to shave it all off, but... And maybe that part of that's, like, just enjoying, like, old 70s porno. where, and that was the first porn I saw, so it like made an imprint. But yeah, I'm pro pubes.
You heard it here, kids. Britney Spears put down that razor. Oh no, we don't even want to see that again. That was scary. That was one of those things where I wish we saw 5 years ago, but now after two kids and K-Fed, no thank you.
Yeah, she's getting scary. Lindsay Lohan's coochie was scarier though, if you've seen that one.
I don't know if I have.
Look it up.
I'll have to look. PerezHilton.com.
Is it gaping?
No, it's
does
just
it have like a little like
the fire crotch.
Yeah, the fire crotch, that's right.
It's kind of mottled and chewed looking, and like one of the lips is kind of like sweat clinging to the
like shoe leather.
Like shoe leather.
Looks like that.
I think this might be an internet-only episode. You know what, though? That's okay. Let's just be filthy. Let's just keep this one online.
Okay.
I think more people listen to it online than on air anyways.
This song is for a group of people who need a voice. This song is for a contingent of our society that has been oppressed and held down for far too long. This song is for them. It hurts, it hurts. It hurts being a 14-year-old girl. It hurts. It hurts being a 14-year-old girl. I hate my mom. She makes me do my homework. My kitty cat just died. I have braces and frizzy hair. It hurts, it hurts. It hurts being a 14-year-old girl. It hurts. It hurts being a 14-year-old girl. I got in a fight with my best friend. My boobies are getting big. I have to buy tampons now. I got a zit on my nose. I got in a fight with my best friend. My boobies are getting big. I have to buy tampons now. I got a zit on my nose. I got in a fight with my best friend. My boobies are getting big. I have to buy tampons now. I got a zit on my nose. I got in a fight with my best friend. My boobies are getting big. I have to buy tampons now.
It hurts being a 14-year-old. Hurts, it hurts. It hurts being a 14-year-old. Hurts, it hurts. It hurts being a 14-year-old. Hurts, it hurts. It hurts being a 14-year-old.
Hurts, it hurts. It hurts being a 14-year-old girl. It fucking hurts being a 14-year-old girl. I've got a crush on Billy at school. He's the coolest. He's got really great hair. He doesn't even know I exist. And that's because it hurts, it hurts. It hurts being a 14-year-old girl. It hurts. It fucking hurts being a 14-year-old girl.
Nobody understands me.
Now, Happy, is that done? 4 issues, that's it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's done.
Now, I really love the Happy Planet and the disgustingly Happy Bunnies. Mm-hmm. Was it the Planet Soft?
Mm-hmm.
Where the hell did you get that from? That's horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Is it just, getting sick of seeing Teletubbies?
Yeah, the bunny, where does that come from? I remember when I first moved away from Connecticut, the first place I lived was Olympia, and I was just up all night with my friend Jade, and I just drew that for her completely on a whim, the dancing one-eyed bunny, just as, like, trying to draw, like, a pleasant thing for a new friend, you know, rather than the usual whatever horrors. And and then I left Olympia, and I heard that they took that drawing and put it, like, on a pizza box, and that was all around town, which was kind of odd. And, yeah, I don't
freakish
know.
Bunny pizza, yeah.
Yeah, the bunny.
The happy pizza.
My favorite issue of Happy was the issue where you traveled around with a... They were called the Zirkus?
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of like a...
The Parade Jim Rose.
Yeah, like a more disgusting version of the Jim Rose sideshow. And
yeah.
And you documented traveling with this group and all the crazy shit that you witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty amazing document of, I'm sure, what was probably a pretty interesting time in your life.
Yeah, that was really something. I mean, I kind of don't want anything to do with that world so much anymore, because in a lot of ways I'm like typical cartoonist, like I'm happiest just in a basement scribbling away somewhere, but I have a little bit of like a travel bug, and I would come up with ideas for acts, and I'm not at all like comfortable being on stage or doing performance type things, but no one else was going to do them, so I had to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I did the puppet show of the bunnies, and that was always like a crowd pleaser. That thing always went over so well.
Do you want to tell the listeners that haven't read Happy about the puppet show?
Well, it's the happiest puppet show in existence. I made the puppets out of cardboard or like signboard, like plastic, that plasticky
yeah.
cardboard stuff. And they were like 6 feet tall, so we could take up a whole stage doing the puppet show. And it's just about the bunnies from the comics, like, and how insanely happy they are. It's about 10 minutes long. And people always loved it. You know, I did it for kids in the park in New Orleans. I did it for a lot of like punk rock type venues and like parties in New York and stuff. And it always did well. And it was always in the middle of the circus where it's like people sucking their own dick on a bed of nails, lifting a six pack of beer with your pussy lips.
And then they drink it throughout the while she's lifting it, right?
Yeah, and they'd call people up from the audience, you know, audience participation.
Like, doesn't that kind of ruin it? You're not really lifting much when they're done.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe it's helping her out a little, you know.
The guy I'm fascinated by is the one that sucks on the dog's anus in public and blows it and
yeah.
eats his own shit. And what was that guy's deal?
That's Nostril. Yeah, he's the kind of guy who just would do pretty much anything. He was up in my room, like I would keep a piss jar up in my room because...
just for fun.
In the ass palace, because I was on the third floor and the bathroom was like in the basement. So, like I said, you know, hey, drink some of my piss and I'll give you a dollar. And just without missing a beat, he did it.
Wow.
And, you know, that's good. A lot of us were desperate for money at the time, but also he's just the kind of guy who will do that kind of thing.
And he would eat one of the other guys' vomit?
Yeah, Pierre can vomit on command.
Oh.
And somehow that was the grossest thing to me.
Yeah.
Like, he also ate his own shit, which I was more or less okay with, but watching Pierre vomit in his mouth was just...
The most revolting thing I think I've ever watched was this film my friend showed me at his house, and it was these Japanese girls, like, with a bowl, huge bowl
yeah,
of vomit, and they're just, like, gobbling it up, and then they're, like, gagging, and that was more offensive than the beginning of Retardotron with the Japanese girl covered in shit walking through downtown Tokyo.
That's on a TV monitor. It must be something totally different to witness this right in your face, like, and you'd just be smelling it,
yeah.
everything would be right there.
Did you puke a lot?
In the circus?
Seeing shit like that?
No. I never puked, you know. It was, you know, a little discomforting. I'd puke on occasion from having to perform. Because
oh,
I get nervous. Just nerves.
Yeah.
But,
How big were the audiences?
Yeah, it was just... rambunctious, really wild.
Crazy.
And it was a lot of, like, audience participation, things going on in the audience, naked people. It was just... Yeah, it was...
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Any particular happy experiences from the circus of freakishness that stick out?
Happy experience.
Doesn't necessarily be happy.
You know, just doing the puppet show was a lot of fun, because, like, comics, you draw something, it comes out 6 months later, a year and a half later, and you might hear somebody say, you know, hey, I really like that thing you did.
And it'll probably be one person.
Yeah,
a handful of people. Not to say that you're not talented, but comics fans aren't known for saying a lot when they like things.
yeah. But when you're doing a performance, it's like this instant, you know, people are laughing at what you're doing, and it's pretty energizing, and
it's instant gratifying. Instant gratification, yeah.
Yeah, instant gratification, which you don't get with the comics. So, I've enjoyed, like, collaborating with people sometimes, with the circus thing, with music, with the thing I'm doing now, which someone else is writing.
Not
What's that?
It's called The White Rhinoceros, and it's being written by Sean Partridge, and it's a race comic. It's about race, but it's going to be a huge fantasy.
Social commentary?
No, car racing.
Oh, okay. I was thinking like...
I'm joking. It is social commentary. Of sorts, I mean...
Okay, it's a colorful array of...
It's going to be like a Narnia-style adventure, but starring Spicks and Gooks and Spearchuckers.
Jesus.
But see, like... But it doesn't have anything to do with the real-world association with those names. It's like if a retarded kid heard Spick, what he might imagine a Spick is if he didn't know what it was. And like, that's a Spearchucker. He's not black. He's just like a mighty warrior. That's the dot head.
So you're kind of playing with these terms in an interesting way.
Mm-hmm. That's good. It's about racial healing, ultimately.
Huh.
Bringing people together.
That's what I do.
So that's going to be your next comic thing? That's
what
you've been working on since?
That's going to be years away. I think it's going to be several hundred pages long. And we're just kind of...
And full color, of course.
And of course, it has to be in color. It's about...
Because you got
to
have the
race
man
in, you know. So...
And tell us about this comic series that you're working on that through, I guess, Fantagraphics is going to be publishing it, and Gary Groth is going to be 99 when the last book comes out?
Yeah,
Jesus
Christ,
what's this?
That's Jessica Farm. Do you have that? I don't know if you ever saw that.
No.
Well, I did a mini comic of it. But the deal with that is I started it in January 2000, and I draw a page a month. And my goal is to go until 2050. Well, actually, December 2049 will be the last page, and that'll make it exactly 50 years that I drew this comic. And it'll be 600 pages. And
now, are you going to go all crazy like Dave Sim?
Well, it's possible, yeah.
The interesting thing that I've noticed about what you finished on Jessica Farm so far is that it documents your growth as an artist, because if you're only doing one page a month, the pages I've looked at so far, you can see a marked, like
just getting tighter.
Yeah, it's like your talent level's moving along, and I think it's got an interesting, I've never actually seen that before, where somebody's... you know, within one story, you can see their entire career as far as their talent level change. I like it on that level.
Yeah, I mean, imagine like what a page is going to look like in 20 years or 50 years. But at the same time, I want to keep the style consistent. Like, I think it still reads pretty cleanly. You know,
will that be a challenge for yourself? Because I know Thor, Mr. Jensen, he when he did Red Eye, Black Eye, he had a problem because he did this big thing, but his style was changing. He's doing other stuff in different styles, but he had to hold back and do this thing in this really uniform style.
Yeah, well, that's always a problem with the longer thing, because, and I change styles a lot, and I'm always trying different styles. But, yeah, I'm not too worried about it. It'll work out, whatever.
You got your sketchbook here. You're pretty much constantly drawing. Like, last night I saw you in Bougie jamming away.
Sure.
Are you always, is that like pretty focal part of your life is as an artist, is you just can't put down the pen?
Yeah, I mean, when I take little trips like this, not as much as I'd like to. Like, I really would like to, and especially draw from life more when I have the sketchbook. But definitely when I'm at home, I'm pretty like obsessive and fixated on doing it. Drawing, yeah.
What kind of media do you use? Pens, paper?
Just for people to kind of get Bristol, it. Bristol board. I've used Koinor rapidographs for years and years, and I like the really clean technical look of that. And then just like round, I guess, Winsor-Newton brushes. I really don't know much about like the supplies people usually use, but I found just a couple that work, and
I think it's always
stick with those.
I think it's always interesting for people listening to kind of hear that, because as I've noticed, most comic fans of alternative comics are artists of alternative comics to varying degrees, so it's always interesting for people to share their knowledge of what they do, so people aren't kind of living in a bubble. Now for House, because you went from the white to the stark black, did you change how you were doing it, or is it just smaller panels that you're doing it with and just using that little panel?
What do you mean?
Making use of the black, I guess, is what I'm asking about.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
Going from drawing, you know, the regular panels to near the end with the black panels, were you doing it on, like, a page, like, everything on one page, or did you do just little panels? Because they're little panels at the end of the book.
Oh, no, no, those are all, yeah, that's a page, like, each page is the page, the original art, yeah.
What are you using to fill in the blacks?
Just India ink, you know, brush.
With a brush, yeah.
Yeah.
Just slop it on?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, just slop it on there.
So, what's the next thing we can look forward to? Is it going to be the race war, or is
that's going to be a few years away? Like, I have a whole bunch of short stories in mind. I'm working on one now called Jesus Christ, and it's like a 12-page thing. And there, I don't like have an outlet for it yet. I'm just drawing it, and if nothing pops up, then I'll do it as a mini comic. But you know, things tend to pop up. Like, I was going to do the wizard rape comic from Sleazy Slice as a mini-comic just before you asked me if I had anything. So,
yeah.
So things just kind of work out, because I'd rather not self-publish. I don't enjoy doing that at all.
It's kind of a grind.
Yeah.
It's a loveless task. Thankless, I guess. Are you going to be in the next Sleazy?
Yeah, I think so. I think just a couple, like,
or should I not
pin-up things right now. Well,
it's up to Bougie.
Of course, he's always invited.
He's always invited. Well, I look forward to seeing more stuff by you. Thank you for stopping by my kitchen for a quick chat about your comics. And check out House from Fantagraphics, Mr. Josh Simmons. Thank you. Robin Bougie.
You're welcome.
As always, it's a pleasure.
Yes.
Don't forget he has a book coming out soon.
Late August.
Late August. Oh, damn.